listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. I'm your host, Abby, and with me today is my manager, Catherine Fay. Hi, Catherine. Thanks for recording with me.
I'm so happy to be here, and I'm super excited to help shape the podcast going forward. This is my first time recording a podcast.
In today's episode, you'll hear an interview with Haley, the branch manager of our Crozet branch. But before we get to that, as always, we've got book chat. Here's what we're loving this month.
Yes, I am loving this one. I'm reading The Listening Path by Julia Cameron, who is also the author of The Artist's Way. She's been called the Queen of Change, and she focuses on reclaiming creativity and transformation. And this particular book of hers is the third in a series, focused on listening, encourages to be present with awareness, authenticity, reconnect with our observed reality, which can change how we show up and how we relate to others, which also increases our connection and empathy. The structure of her program is a six-week exploration, actively listening to our environment, to each other, ourselves, even learning to listen to silence. And it's also filled with relevant quotes, and I've selected two of my favorites, which I'll share later. So the content of her structure is the same as it is for The Artist's Way. Begin with morning pages, which are three pages that you write immediately upon waking, handwritten stream of consciousness. So this really, over time, allows you to see what's coming up again and again, see how you're orienting, and it gives some insight that you wouldn't ordinarily have. It's important to do it in the morning because you're not being influenced by other factors in your day. And the second tool is an artist's date. Our culture isn't very focused on the ethic of play. So an artist's date is a solo exploration for 1 or 2 hours each week. And you do something that interests or enchants you. And this really allows our brain to reorient towards interacting with the world with creativity and spontaneity and really shifting out of our very linear and goal-oriented traditional way of interacting. And our third tool is walking. This is approached as a mini pilgrimage. The focus is to listen, be present, notice. And of course, walking always releases those endorphins, which is great in the dark and cold of the winter. She also recommends that we find places to be silent. Often swimming in a pool is really a completely different experience of silence. So she highly recommends that. Or even sitting in your driveway in your car for a few minutes can take an opportunity to just relax before going into your work or home. Okay, so the favorite quotes that I selected, which I really think capture the essence of her book and what she's trying to convey, is the first one is by Dee Osberger. Being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. And the second one is by Meg Clayton. It was an honor to be listened to closely, to be heard, and one could honor someone without agreeing with them. So both of those really capture the intentionality of showing up, being present, observing our reality, responding from a conscious perspective. I really recommend the book. I think that especially those who love The Artist's Way will really enjoy this newest edition.
Catherine, when you said morning pages, a light bulb went off in me, and I said, I know morning pages. And then I remembered that I have read a Julia Cameron book. I've read The Right to Write.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned that this is part of a three-book series, maybe. Mm-hmm. What are the other books in the series?
First one is The Artist's Way, mm-hmm. and then the second one is Walking Through the World, I believe. And then this one is somewhat later. So this is just released this January. So her earlier books were several decades ago. So this is a whole new exploration for her.
And do you follow any of these practices yourself? Do you do morning pages or have an artist date? Or were you inspired to with this book?
The tool that I use most consistently would be walking. I have been trying to be very conscious about the morning pages. So I find that if you have young children or dogs or a very busy household, it can be difficult to do that immediately upon waking. But I try and get to it as soon as I can. And I will say that it is very effective for going deeper and kind of surfacing things that I wouldn't otherwise be aware of that are worth reflecting on.
I have found myself that young children and dogs are basically one and the same. Yeah. I've made many jokes that our dog over time has been more work than our daughter. So they're the same.
It can be difficult.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks for sharing that book. That's really interesting to hear about. So the book that I read this time for Book Chat is My Accidental Jihad by Krista Bremer. And it's interesting because I like to share sometimes how I found the books that I do my book chat on. And this one I happened to find through serendipity, browsing the stacks. I'm a big, big supporter of walking through the stacks and letting yourself be caught by a title or even a word in the title, a color or an image. This one I found because, as you know, I'm with slowly going through the biographies to see which ones need to be taken off the shelf. This one I did not take off the shelf, but I checked out for myself. So this is a book that was originally published in 2014. I was caught by the title because I think it lends you a great snapshot of the specificity of the place. You know, this is about the Muslim faith, and the subtitle is a love story, so I was interested to see what sort of accident love story was going to take place. But interestingly, the title is what got me, and it is now being published under a different title. The different title is A Tender Struggle. But a little bit about the book. So this is Krista Bremer and her love story with her husband, and he's Muslim, she's a secular non-religious person, and they fall into a relationship together. Friendly, they are both athletic, they run, but then they eventually have this intimate relationship, and they start a family and live together and then have this life together. They get married. But what I loved about it was Krista does a great job of being very honest. That's a huge buzzword for books and especially memoirs, is, oh, this person was so honest, and they really tell it like it is. She shares, for example, instances of her own biases. She ends up having two kids with her husband, and there's one scene in the book where her daughter, who's her first child, when she turns about 9 years old, she expresses interest in wearing a headscarf or a head covering, and her first reaction is no, you know, she's totally like pumping the brakes or not ready or nervous, or there's this huge internal reaction within her. And she shares that very openly in the book. She shares about how she's totally repulsed by her husband and his stale breath during Ramadan, you know, the whole month when he can't eat. So his breath becomes extremely stale during the day until he can break his fast. Or she shares her frustration with when she does go to Libya to meet her in-laws and her married family, and she's very independent. She's used to running and exploring the world. She's very used to the internet. And there's just so many things in Libya that she doesn't find that she's used to having at home. So she shares those struggles very openly. But it related to me because I'm not married to a Muslim and I'm not super familiar with the faith. But I was even able to connect to this story in how she expressed just the everyday unique but also universal struggles of marriage or love or family. So I found it to be a really readable memoir that both showed me something new and showed me her unique process through spirituality and faith and also secular life, but also through the universal feeling of your book. When you were talking about being heard as being loved, I was like, yes, that's what this book was about too, because it's so much about bridging that cultural gap that she and her husband started out with, and at the end of the book was still there, because they're very, very different people, and there's no way they become the same person at all, but yet they still love each other. I think mostly because they probably listen to each other very well. And because she's a great writer, I as a person felt like my experience in a way was listened to.
Well, I find this really interesting. I love the title, the concept of an accidental spiritual realigning of one's life. I feel like that happens to all of us.
Another aspect that kept me reading in the book was I was trying to figure out what is her accidental jihad, because jihad was a word I wasn't familiar with. And I think one of the reasons that she used it in the title, I was desperately searching for some sort of media mention about why the book is now published under a different title, but there is nothing. There's no word about why the title has shifted. I don't know if it was the author or the publisher, but there was media about choosing the word jihad because it's very misused, I think, by most people. It has this very violent connotation, you know, struggle of right. of the religions or of the nations. But jihad used in Islam is like a personal struggle towards holiness. So you're struggling against yourself, you're struggling against the world, but only within yourself, only within your heart. I wanted to know, what is her accident? Was it falling in love with him? Was it staying with him? Was it this internal struggle? Because we do see that, but it's not like the whole book is about her spiritual quest towards holiness, because it's mostly about her love with her husband. But interestingly, I think there's this mingling when you're married to someone and it becomes your way towards holiness. She grows a lot as a person, and she tells us about these mistakes or flaws or human aspects of brokenness, but she also shows us how she is a better person.
I agree. I think relationships, particularly like long-term family, marriages, parenting, and they crack us open in our path towards growth and healing in ways that no other experience can. So I can see how that would be a personal jihad. Next up, we'll hear from Abby and Haley about Haley's busy and energetic days at the Crozet Branch, and we'll also find out what Haley is currently reading.
Haley, thank you for joining us for the podcast today. What do you do and why do you do it? What brought you into the library world?
I have been in the library world now for, 12 years. I'm working at JMRL for 12 years, actually. I am the Crozet Library branch manager, and I have also worked at the Northside Library. That's where I started as a shelver, and as a reference librarian, and then a children's specialist at Gordon, and then a reference librarian actually at Central. So I've worked at all those places, and then I came here in 2016, and this job is kind of beautiful because it's really a culmination of everything that I got to do at all my previous jobs rolled into one, plus management on top of that. And I love it. I got into libraries thinking I wanted to try libraries out before I got a library degree, thinking I wanted to go into archives because I have a background in working at the Savannah Historical Society also. So I really thought I was going that direction. And then I started working in libraries and just totally fell in love.
So you said it's a culmination of all of your previous jobs in a way, plus management. Mm-hmm. Could you maybe give us a tiny rundown of maybe some things that you would do day to day?
The biggest thing is I manage a staff of 11. So there's 12 of us here all together. And I love this part. I am such a people person. I love finding out what engages people, and our staff is so collaborative that it's really fun because we just bounce ideas off of each other all the time. We like support each other all the time. So I love working with my friends every day, and these people that I work with are just the best. That also includes hiring, interviewing, doing daily management types of things. I also like maintain the building. I mean, I call the county to maintain the building, but I have to be on top of those things. One of the other biggest pieces of my job is I'm an adult programmer. So I run all the programming for adults here. I love that. So I've done programming at most of my other positions. Gordon, I was the children's specialist, but I also did all the teen programs there. So I did some story times, and then I also did all of the teen events there. So I've gotten to work with all of those ages, and doing adult programming here, I get to tie the adult programs in sometimes with family events and things like that too. And then all of the reference stuff that I also do. So that's another huge part of my job is like reference, especially reader's advisory. We do so much of that here, which we recommend books to people. So people come up to us at the desk and they're asking us for their next great read. And that is like hands down one of my favorite things that I do day to day. And then another big part of my job is also collection management. That includes weeding out books that are no longer circulating to make room for the new ones that are coming in, finding things that need to be replaced, and kind of everything in between. The thing I love so much about my job is, you know, it's the books, it's the people, and it's also just, there's so much variety in this field and in this job in particular. Like I get to do all different kinds of things every day, which I love. Like Friday, I just did a test run of our Marvel escape room. Oh, 3 o'clock. I got it on my schedule to go solve some puzzles. Jess Moore is the teen librarian here, and the teens from her tab group, her teen advisory board, wanted to do an escape room, and they decided on the theme and the content and everything. A lot of times they also help write a lot of it. We also did during Banned Books Week a couple years ago, Azkaban Books escape room. Banned books were locked in Azkaban, and it was this Harry Potter theme, and it was so fun. I had never done an escape room before. I hadn't even been in one when we first started planning it. We should do this. That would be fun.
My understanding from hearing through the grapevine and hearing from you is that it sounds like you're got a unique branch in that Crozet is growing and getting busier and feels like a big library, but you as the branch manager are still have your hands in everything. You know, you're on the desk every day. And so it almost has that small library feel. Would you say that feels pretty accurate?
Yeah, definitely. I love that aspect of it too. We usually are about the third busiest branch in the system. It's a very community feeling branch. So, you know, people walk in and we notice who they are all the time. We have enough staff to have those conversations with patrons, but it's also busy enough that it's never stagnant. It's really kind of a beautiful mix of everything. I love it here.
What is a project that you are working on right now that you're interested in or excited about?
Right now, one of my pet projects is we're doing a lot of collection maintenance, going through a lot of the books that are no longer really popular out here, taking those off the shelf so we have enough room for new materials to go out. But sometimes I just find these real hidden gems that I'm like, I don't know why this isn't circulating here. And so I've come up with a new system where we have bookmarks that say, you know, if you like this, try this. And so I'll find a book that I'm like, okay, I can sell this to somebody, the right reader. And so I'll find a book that maybe isn't going so well here, but pairing it with something that's new and popular that people do want to read. And it's super rewarding when those books go off the shelf. I just created a new parenting display over near the children's section so that if parents don't have enough time to go find books on their own while they're trying to wrangle masses of children or even just one little tiny person that wreaks havoc everywhere. And I can say that because I have two of them. One of our shelvers thought of a display that's a deep dive into a different country. So right now we have Korea up and we decided to start with Korea partially because of the popularity of Squid Games. If you like Hunger Games, it's not far off the mark. So I'm not usually a horror fan, but that one was really good actually. So we have apparently not very many DVDs that are like Korean drama or Korean cinema in our collection, but Canopy has tons of Korean films. So that was super cool to find out. Pushing those and adding in all these other cool books and resources that you might not find otherwise has gone on that display. And we're hoping to make that kind of a rotating one.
That's really cool to hear. And it sounds like you guys are being so thoughtful in everything, which is very inspiring to hear. Like I love how you take the idea, but it's coming from a meaningful place or a place that's meaningful for the patrons. And even if that meaning is as simple as this is what I'm watching on Netflix right now. And look, the library notices, like we know what's happening in the world and we're paying attention and incorporating it into your life here too. So I love that. I think that's really great and important. So those little details matter. I myself am scared to watch Squid Game. But I did make it through Hunger Games, so maybe I can try it. I don't know.
I will say I'm not a fan of gory, but this was like a level that I could handle, which maybe my tastes have changed over the years. I have no idea. it's the psychological components that really get me. Like, I am super fascinated by that. So that's really what hooked me in. And it's the same thing with Hunger Games, where you're just, there's something about it, draws you in, and then you just can't stop. They're really good at that. Plus, all the characters were like super appealing. They had interesting backstories, or they were just really complicated in a way that was useful. And then some were downright terrible. So then you could also be like, well, when he gets off, I don't feel so bad.
Oh man. So last question for you, Haley, what else is drawing you in and grabbing your attention? Maybe book wise, what are you reading these days?
Oh man. So I am not one of these people that can read one book at a time. Never have been, but especially like nonfiction, I can't read one at a time because I'm kind of jumping all over the place. Also, maybe the scattered attention has something to do with being a parent. I don't really know. I have a 3-year-old, a 3.5-year-old, and a 7-month-old. I really gravitate towards audiobooks because I can listen to them in the car on my commute, which I commute from Fluviana, and everybody says, I can't believe you do that, but it's about 40 minutes and it's my audiobook time. And also it is a beautiful drive, so I don't mind it. And I definitely don't mind it when it means that I get to come to Crozet Library every day. Right now though, I have been in a real romance kick lately. My latest is Red, White, and Royal Blue by Casey McQuiston, which is an LGBT romance, which I actually haven't read a lot of. So this is kind of fun. And I was really sad because my audiobook expired in the middle of it. So I had to put it back on hold. So that's why I started The Book of Delights by Ross Gay. I do not know how this came up on my TBR. I don't know how I got it on hold. I do not remember putting it on hold, where I heard of it. I remembered nothing about it, but it came up as a hold the day that my other one expired. And I was like, well, I guess I'm reading this now. It's 5 hours long. It sounds great. And I started listening to it, and it's a set of essays about things that brings this guy delights throughout the year. So it's like one calendar year, and he's just writing these small essays on things that bring him delight. And it's really small things, mundane things sometimes. He's a Black man, and he talks about race issues or things that are also hard that kind of put into relief the delight that he sees every day, which is kind of beautiful. But he's so funny. I just started listening to it, and I'm now super inspired that I want to make my own Book of Delights, which who has time for that? But like maybe just like a sentence of something that brings me delight every day. Also, he reads it himself, and he's a poet too. I just finished There's No Such Thing as Bad Weather, speaking of parenting books. That's by Linda Akeson McGurk. She married an American. She lives in America, but she's Swedish. So she talks about getting your kids outside. There's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing is one of those Scandinavian sayings that I have come to appreciate very much. And it's really inspired me to try to find more ways to get my little ones outside and reconnecting them with nature, especially in a time of screens. And then What Great Parents Do by Erica Reicher, which I think I did tell you about earlier this month, which is 2-page spreads, 75 tips on things that can make parenting easier or make you a better parent. And it's kind of all this information culled down from all these other parenting books, which I super appreciate. All of the resources listed in the back. So if I want to deep dive into it, that's good. But she also gives like, here's the tip, and then here's how to make it, like bring it into practice. I also just have that one going. You know, I read it at my desk, like when I have a 15-minute break. I read like 2 of those a day, and then I'm good. Shout out to everybody else who works here at Crozet Library, because this team is the best, the very, very best.
I loved interviewing Haley for this episode. She has been a great model to look to this past year, as I've learned to be a working mom myself. She also has the best parenting book recommendations.
And our next episode is going to be extra special. We're going to compile reading resolutions for 2022 from our colleagues. And this will be a great way to learn about one another and what goals and challenges and ideas that we use to read more and to choose our books with intention.
Yes, I'm really looking forward to it.
And this podcast is made possible through generous support from Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org. And please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcast@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back soon with our very special Reading Resolutions episode. Thanks for tuning in. We're glad to be on the same page.